love of God. And when he said that to me, I mean, it was like he showed me that it wasn't just a normal thing. It was like it's something that he set out to do, is to move people away from the love of God. And I'll tell you more about how it happens as I go along. But if you think about it, the coronavirus started last year. You know, when the coronavirus came, what did it do? It separated people.
Right.
Elderly people in a nursing home couldn't be touched. They were dying for love. You know, they were dying to touch their loved ones and stuff like this. And then people separated and out of fear, and nobody was close to nobody. And so that played right into the attack that the enemy is using. Because when you love somebody, you want to touch them.
Right.
You want to be close to them. And see, that's what the devil is doing in this hour, is just like what happened with the coronavirus, and it's still happening today. The devil is trying to move people away from the love of God. And I'm not saying that you don't love God or that God don't love you. But what I'm saying is this. It's not good enough just to say, I love God, He loves me, that's all. No, there's more to it than that. How many knows that when you become a Christian, that there's an exchange of life takes place?
Right.
You exchange your old life for His new life. And your new life, the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ living in us. And the more that we come in harmony with that, the more that we're going to be what we're supposed to be. See, religion will tell you as long as you're a good person, you go to church every once in a while, pay your tithes, you'll go to heaven, everything will be okay. But there's more to it than that.
Right.
There's a life that we got to live. There is a life that Jesus died for on the cross, that we might have eternal life. To have the same kind of life living on the inside of us that was inside of Jesus. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, it says, God is love. And he that loveth abideth in him. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. How many knows that we have a choice to whether or not we will let the love of God flow through us?
Yeah.
Did you know that if God's love can't flow through you, it can't get to you? I've said this for years. But when the Lord started showing me this that morning when I woke up, He showed me that when you stop love from coming through you, you stop God. And when you stop God, then you're just in religion. Then you don't feel right. See, there's a lot of people today that don't feel like they're supposed to feel, and they think it's because of something else. They think it's everything else, but they don't realize it's because when you stop love from flowing through you, you stop God from flowing through you.
That's right. Yep.
And when you stop Him, then all you got is just religions, do's and don'ts, and I don't do this, I don't smoke, and I don't dip, and I don't cuss. But it's not what we don't do, it's what we allow Him to do through us.
Amen.
Glory to God. But in 1 John chapter 4, I want to read some scriptures from there. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, verse 1, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard of it that it should come, and even now already is in the world. But when it says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it didn't say past tense. It didn't say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
Right.
It says, is come in the flesh. How many know it's talking about this flesh?
Man.
The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that denies that Jesus Christ is living in this flesh. See, it's a spirit that says there's no miracles, There's no healing. There's nothing like that today. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It denies the power of God. It denies the life of Jesus living on the inside of it. But see, the true spirit of God says, but it goes on down here and it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. See, he's letting you know what he's talking about. Because he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And then he goes on down and he says, they are of the world, and they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth, and hereby the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And when did you know when it's talking about this love, it's not talking about just natural human love. It's not talking about romantic love. It's talking about agape love. The love of God. The same kind of love that God has is what he's talking about. This verse is talking about the love of God. We have the ability to love like God loves. But we don't know it. And it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because God sent his Son, the only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that we, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if he so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Now notice this. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. He said nobody's seen God, but if we love one another, we see God in each other. Nice. That's what he's saying. He said if you really tap into this love, you can see God in people. See, most people think that they're spiritual when they can see all the wrong in people. They think that they're spiritual elites, and they can spot every little thing wrong in people. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not, when you really are spiritual, is when you can see the God in them. And you can see past the outer air, the flesh, and you can see their heart. That's when you're starting to become spiritual. You're not starting to become spiritual when you can spot all the wrong in somebody. You know, they think that's a good preacher, somebody can preach and point out all the wrong that's going on in your life. That's not so unless God tells you to do that. But if you can see God in people, and the thing of it is, without the love of God, you really can't see things right. Without the love of God, you know, there's a lot of religious people out there today, and they're not flowing in the love of God. And because of that, it's caused them to be judgmental, hard, critical, and they don't see things right. I had a friend of mine years ago. He was a drug guy, just about like I was at the time. He got saved and I got saved. But for some reason or other, he didn't want to hear nothing about the love of God. And every time you talk to this guy, it was gloom and doom. Judgment, God's fire is fixing to fall on you and kill you. Everybody in this house is going to die if you don't get right. You know, I mean, he was this kind of person. And it was like that every single time he preached. Every time he talked to me, it was gloom and doom. Judgment's coming on you, you know. And I was preaching one time, and the Spirit of God, I was preaching along the lines of what I'm talking about right now. He was in the church service. He got mad because I was preaching what I'm preaching right now. He got mad and left the church, walked out the door, and somebody told me after church that he was fuming. He was so mad because he had a religious spirit. See, when you get away from the love of God, what happens is you get over here into the do's and don'ts and laws and all this kind of stuff, and you're focused on that, and you think that's where God's at. God's not in that. God's in the love of God. Yeah. Those things won't change you. We've already seen the law didn't change the people. The law was given to them in the Old Testament. It didn't change them. Jesus come to change us. The love of God can change you, but the laws and rules and regulations ain't going to change you.
Right.
And so they knew that. And God knew that. And so he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we might experience his love. And so he went on down here and he says, but he said, if we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. It means it matures. Now think about that. If you want the love of God to be stronger in you, love people on purpose. Love one another, and he said, it's perfected in you. It gets stronger. If you let it flow through you on a regular basis, if you let it flow through you on purpose, you let God's love flow through you, it perfects and gets stronger. It gets more mature. But you know what happens? This is what the Lord showed me. That there's a lot of snares out there, and this is for everybody in this building today. The devil got your number. And he knows exactly what it takes to get you to harden your heart. He knows exactly what it takes to get you offended, to get you angry, to get you to hold a grudge, to be unforgiving. He knows exactly what it takes to get you to shut off the love of God. Because a lot of times people can be walking in the love of God and then they can get mad and they just shut it off and say, nope, I ain't loving that person no more. I'm writing him off. You know, he's not in my will no more. He's not my, you know, and you close your heart up, and if that person had a bad need, you couldn't even help him because you wouldn't have no compassion on him. Right. And see, the Bible says if you see your brother have need and you close up your bowels of compassion for them, he said, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Right. And see, what happens is when you see a need and you close your bowels of compassion up and you say, they probably deserve it. I ain't going to help them. I'm not going to help this person. They probably doing drugs or something, you know. And you harden your heart. And see, God, sometimes God will bring something to you to get you to open up and let him flow through you. I had a friend of mine. He got hit by a car. And he was homeless. He got hit by a car. And he was hitchhiking on the road after he came out of the hospital and he couldn't hardly walk and he was sleeping on the ground. And he called me. And, you know, when people talk to you and tells you a need sometimes, he didn't ask for no help. He called me and was telling me what happened. And he was telling me the condition he was in. And for a second, I felt uncomfortable because I knew it was getting me out of my comfort zone. It was like, I really don't want to hear this because if I hear it, then that means I'm going to have to do something about it. And so he starts telling me this stuff, and so my conscience starts bothering me then, and it's like, I got to do something. If I don't, then how dwelleth the love of God in me? The man's laying on the ground with his hip probably broke and can't get up off the ground, and ants is crawling all over him. And if I don't do something, then how dwelleth... I mean, see, that's the reason I woke up, and the Lord was talking to me about this, and he was telling me, you know, and this was before that situation there even come up. And so then when that situation come up, see, he had already been dealing with me about not shutting off the love of God. And so I went and got him, put him up in a motel, and then had to go back and get him again, and I brought him to Coleman, put him in a motel. But this is what I realized in it. And now he's better. He's every day he's getting better and better. But this is what I realized. When I helped him, I thought, well, Lord, I can't put him up in a motel. I can't pay for this from now on, you know. But you know what happened? I started seeing people started helping here. Somebody helped over here. Somebody gave an offering here. Somebody gave an offering there. And you know what? He's done been in there for nearly 2 weeks now, going on 2 weeks, and the room's been paid for.
Amen.
But I realized because that I didn't shut off my bowels of compassion, then God supplied the need through, it wasn't just through me, it was through other people, you know, that he used to supply that need. And so I realized that there's a principle here, that when you see a need, a lot of times we'll see something and we'll say, that's too much for me to worry about. That's too big for me to help somebody. I can't help. I ain't got enough money to help. But see, what you do is you do what you can do. And what you can't do, God will do the rest.
Amen.
I mean, how many believes that? Yep. God will, when you move and obey God, God will do what you cannot do. And so it caused me, and when it helped me, because see, it don't matter how long you've been saved, the love of God can, you can shut it off over time. Yep. Even just from neglect. Just neglect, just being busy, just being caught up in life. You can get so caught up in life that you're not really aware of the love of God and not really aware that your love is growing cold. And so, anyways, the more that you love people and the more you let God flow through you, the stronger it's going to get in your life. But when you shut it off, he said, if you shut off your bowels of compassion, he said, how dwelleth the love of God in you? That means God can't live in us if he can't flow through us. Now think about that. See, if he can't flow through us and out of us, then he can't dwell there. He's got to, he can't live there in that situation. He's got to be where he can flow. But when he's flowing, and this is what I like about God, and over the last years that ever since I got saved, they've been situations come up to where God would bring me back to the love of God, probably about 10 times over the last 40 years. And I would have an experience with God. Something would happen and God would speak to me and he would bring me back and he would renew me. And it was always around the love of God. It was always, I remember one time I was down in Florida and I was asked to preach down there. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, I brought you this far to show you how far you got away from my love. And he started showing me that my heart was getting colder. And that I was kind of, my heart, that I was still religious, but I wasn't allowing his love to flow through me like I had been. And I'm telling you what, I wept. The Spirit of God came on me in that room. And I mean, he changed me. I was a changed person when I left from there and come back home. And then several years ago, I had back when I first got saved, I probably hadn't been saved but maybe a year. And I got penicillin. And I was getting cold spiritually. I didn't know what was, well, I did know. This was what the problem was. The Lord had told me to get up early in the morning, and I didn't. He told me to get up at 4 o'clock and pray till 5 every day before I went to work. And so I set out to do it, and I couldn't do it. I'd get up and I'd fall asleep and I'd go back to bed and I'd fall asleep in the chair and I just was struggling to do it, you know. And then I started condemning myself. And I started saying, God must really be fed up with me for me doing like this. And then I got appendicitis and I almost died. Had to go in the hospital. And I remember being so cold and I would think and feel like God was a million miles away from me. And I said, Lord, where are you at, Lord? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why I was feeling so cold. And I thought it was because I wasn't getting up early. And then the Lord gave me a dream. And he showed me that in this dream that he wasn't mad at me. He showed me that it was just a figment of my imagination. And when he showed me that, I got this little book. And it was called The God Kind of Love by E.W. King. And I started reading this little book. And when I started reading this book, it was exactly what I needed. When I started reading that book, I said, you know, I really ain't doing what's in this book. I said, I ain't really practicing this. And I said, I think I want to practice this stuff. So I started putting it into practice. And from as soon as I started putting it into practice, as soon as I said, I want this love to flow through me like this, as soon as I said that, I started taking off. I started coming out of the dumps. I started coming up and feeling, I started feeling better. And I went back to work. And I remember when I went back to work one day, I was practicing it because I'd been practicing for a couple of weeks. Went back to work that day, and I'm telling you what, the joy of the Lord come on me out there on the job. I started just weeping, and I felt like angels was all around me, and the joy of the Lord just come on me like you would not believe. And I was just going around telling everybody. I said, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. And anyways, this whole day went by, and at evening that night, I realized I had not had one evil thought the whole day. I said, this is unreal. And the Bible said, love thinketh no evil. And it was like I could see evil coming, and I'd just say, no, no. And it was like I had power to overcome evil thoughts. And so that was that situation. And then back when before I got saved when I was 18 years old, and backslid a year later, went back into drugs and alcohol, all that stuff, partying. And somewhere around the fourth year, one night I overdosed on drugs with some friends of mine. And when I overdosed, I went out to my car. I laid down in my car, and somebody's heard me tell this, but I laid down in my car, and I was laying there, and I threw up, and I was sick. And I was laying there, once I started, my life started flashing before my eyes. And I started seeing how that when I lived for God, everything was good. And when I went away from God, how everything got bad. And I never had been able to put two and two together, but that night it was like, hey, my problem is sin. My problem is sin. I got away from God. And it was like it was so clear to me. And all at once I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for the way that I've been living. And when I said that, something started happening right down in my belly right here. And then God came down in that car. And when he came down in that car, I felt a supernatural love, an unconditional love like I had never felt before. It was the most awesome love that I'd ever felt. I didn't feel no condemnation whatsoever from God. All I felt was supernatural love. And it started to fill me up right here. And I could feel it coming up in my stomach. And it started flowing up into here. And then it went out this arm. And then it went out this arm. And I'm laying there and I'm saying, what is this? What is this? Because I didn't know what it was. Because I could literally feel something come, just filling me up like a glass of water. And it ran out this arm, and it went out to this arm, and my hands started drawing. It felt like 10,000 volts of electricity running through my hands, and I'm standing there, and then it comes to my mouth, and it come out my mouth, and when it come out my mouth, it was just deep belly groans. I was just groaning and groaning, but it was like there was so much joy that was bubbling up, and the Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, this spake he of the Spirit. And it was living water springing up out of my spirit. And a friend of mine came out to the car and he said, Bradley, are you dying? Are you dying? Because he could hear me groaning and moaning, you know. And I said, no, Stan, I'm not dying. I said, I'm going back to church. He said, what? I got out of the car and he looked at me and he said, who have you seen out? Who have you seen out here? I said, I'm going back to church. You want to go with me? He said, come on inside. Everybody's going to flip out when they see you. So I walked inside with them. But all the time, I'm telling you what, I felt a love that was so awesome. And it was just flowing through me. I could feel it. It was just flowing through my being. And I walked inside, and here's all these druggies standing there, about 10 of them. And I walked in, and I said, you ain't got no problem. All you need is faith in God. And they all looked at me, and then I said, y'all give me y'all's drugs. I said, give me your drugs. I'm going to throw them away. And they just hung their head like that. And I said, this Sunday we'll all go to church. And they hung their head again. And then this guy was sitting over here and he was demon possessed. He thought he was Jesus. He looks at me and he said, oh, you just flipping out. You just tripping on this drugs. All's wrong with you. And I just looked at him and I said, you know better. And when I said that, the man started shaking and quaking. His whole body started jerking like this. And he got his leg, and he was trying to pull his leg up over his head to hide himself from me. And all I was doing was just standing there looking at him. I said, you know better. But it was the power of God was so strong on me that night. But it was because I felt the love of God, the supernatural, unconditional love of God. It changed my life. And that I had, from that experience alone, it's changed my life forever. Because I experienced God on a level that I had never seen before. I experienced the love that I had never experienced before. And I knew that God loved me, and I knew that He was just wanting me to come to my senses. He wasn't wanting to punish me. He wasn't wanting to beat me. He wasn't wanting me to torture me. He was just wanting me to come to my senses and realize that He was the answer. And when I did, He had mercy on me. He had grace. But it was because of love. Love is what caused Jesus to go to the cross. Did you know that love will cause you to overcome sin? See, love, real love, the love of God is God. And it gives you the ability to overcome things that you could not overcome in your own self. When you're walking in the love of God, you can say no to sin. When you're walking in the love of God, in the presence, how many knows when you're in the presence of God, it's easy to overcome sin? It's when you don't, but when you feel like God's a million miles away, that's when it's easier to sin. That's when it's easier to do what you ain't supposed to do. But when you feel like He's right here with you, you know, it's a little harder to sin then. And that's what happens when you're walking in the love of God. But it happens. There's benefits from letting God live through you. You feel like you're supposed to feel. Did you know that when you don't feel like you're supposed to feel as a Christian, you're susceptible to lies of the devil? When you don't feel like you're supposed to feel, and somebody comes along and says, I know why you don't feel like you're supposed to. It's because you ain't keeping the Ten Commandments. Or it's because that you're supposed to be going to our church. That's why you ain't feeling like you're supposed to feel. Or they say, you ain't baptized right. That's why you don't feel like you're supposed to feel. Because if you got baptized right, you would feel like I feel. And so you don't know no better. And so you think, well, I guess I'll get baptized again and see if that fixes it. And then you get baptized again and it don't fix it. Because the problem is that you're not letting the love of God flow through your life. See, and you think it's something else. And so it makes it easy for you to fall for stuff when you don't know what the problem is to start with. But believe me, when you are walking in the love of God like you should, you feel like you're supposed to. You feel like a Christian. You feel like God loves you. And you feel like being a witness for it. It protects you from deception and error. It causes faith to work. The Bible says faith worketh by love. And when you let love flow through you, it strengthens and energizes faith. It broadens your horizons. When you're walking in the love of God, it causes you to have a greater vision. It causes you to see bigger than you normally see because you're seeing through the eyes of God. When you get away from love, you get away from vision. You get away from your destiny. It gives you vision. It causes fruit to happen in your life. It causes you to have fruit that shows up in your life. When you walk in the love of God, there'll be fruit that proves that you're walking in the love of God. There'll be fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. When you ain't walking in the love of God, it'll be bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, all kind of stuff like that, you know. Wrong kind of fruit. It causes you to have a deeper relationship with God. It makes you overcome sin. I want to read another scripture real quick. In Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 17. He said that Christ, this is a prayer Paul was praying, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that says it all. That says what I've been preaching about. That says it all right there. It confirms it. He said, be rooted and grounded in the love of God, that you might be able to know the depths and the heights of God. Because if you're not rooted and grounded, see, if you're not rooted into, how many has ever had a tree or a bush or something that you rooted it. And you got the roots down in the ground. And, you know, after it had been there for about 5 years, if it had been there for a month, you could go out there and pull it up. But after it had been there for about 5 years, when it gets rooted and you grab it, you can't pull it up.
Right.
It's got its roots down. And see, that's what he said, be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Don't let this be the main focus. And when they asked Jesus, they said, what's the most important law or commandment in the Bible? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Because Jesus knew that this was the most important thing. But sometimes we don't make it the most important. Sometimes we make other things important. Or we get distracted. And this is me. I get distracted. You know, we just get busy with life. We get distracted and we get moved away from it. But I'm telling you, every time that you move toward the love of God, and not just believing in your mind that God loves me, but God wants it to flow through you. And you'll have opportunity. Somebody's going to say, pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Then pray for them. And you know what? When you pray for somebody with love, and you let His love pray through, you know what? God's praying and interceding through you for that person. If you see a need, and you say, I can do something about this need right here. But if you say, I don't want to hear it, blah, blah, blah. You know, have you ever somebody tell you a need or something, and it be somebody you don't want to help? And you're like, la, 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 la. You know? But see, when God brings something across your path, you have to deal with it. And sometimes God don't tell you to help everybody. Yeah. You know, there's some people that God will not tell you to help. It doesn't, because of it, we wouldn't have to be led by God if everything that happens around us, we had to take it that was the will of God. Because sometimes, you know, there was one time there was a lady, and I knew she had a need, and I was fixing to help her. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I don't want you to help her. He said, she's in rebellion. He said, she's fixing to quit her job because she thinks it's the will of God for her to quit her job. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to find out if that's really God or just me thinking that. So I went and talked to this lady, and she said, I'm going full-time in the ministry. I'm quitting my job. And I said, oh, Lord, that was God. And so I started talking to her, you know, and I started trying to tell her that this would, you know, that you need to really pray about it. And but she did. She went ahead and quit her job, and then she lost everything. I mean, everything went down the tube. She didn't get no, you know, didn't work out for her. But I was fixing to help her. The Lord said, if you help her, she's going to think that it's my will for her to quit her job. See, that's why we have to pray. Sometimes if God, you know, you help somebody and they think that your help is a sign from God that they're going the right way. And so you have to be careful about that particular thing. But as long as you're willing, you know, you got to have a willing heart and say, God, I'll help if you want me to help him. If you don't want me to help him, I won't help him.
Yeah.
And so it makes a difference. Glory to God. But if God can't get through us, He can't get to us. Remember that. If you can't let Him flow through you, He can't get to you. But if He can flow through you, you'll be able to see God. One last story, and I'm going to close. And I hate to tell it again because I know sometimes some of you have probably heard it two or three times. But I went to the jails one day. And when I got there, this jailer told me, he said, Brad, he said, come back here. He said, I want you to pray for this devil worshiper. And he said, he worships the devil. And he said, cast the devil out of him. And I said, where's he at? You know, and it was like pride rose up in me. And I was like, well, I'll go around there and cast the devil out of that old boy. And so he carried me around there. And there's this little boy in there about 18-year-old, and when I right before I got to his cell, the Spirit of God come on me, and I started weeping. And he said, this boy is in jail because of his parents. And he said, I want you to show him the love of God. And so I walked up to the cell, and I started talking to the boy. He said, I worship the devil. He said, here's my contract on the wall. And he had written in blood on the wall. And he said, my parents, my mother died, or my daddy died, and my mother kicked me out of the house when I was about 13. And he started telling me what the Lord had just told me, that it was his parents. And so then he kept trying to get me to get in an argument with him. And the Lord told me, he said, you just show love. He said, just let my love flow through you to him. And so I just kept showing that I could feel love literally flowing through me and going out to this boy. And I think he felt it too. And he just kept, and I said, he said, I worship the devil. I said, oh, the devil's nothing. I said, God is everything. And so anyways, we talked for a while. He didn't pray with me. I left, come back the next week. And when I come back the next week, that contract wasn't on the wall no more. He washed it off. And so then we started talking, and he still hadn't accepted the Lord. And so then I left to come back the next week. And when I come back the next week, he said, preacher, I got saved. And he said, I'm fixing to go to prison. But he said, when I go to prison, he said, I'm going to keep serving God in prison until I get out. He said, I'm going to serve God. Yeah. And I said, praise God. But I believe it was because I refused to let him get me in an argument or try to fight it in the flesh. You know, but I just let his love flow through me after that boy. And it changed it. Glory to God. And you're not going to change nobody by beating them over the head. You know, if you try to get somebody saved, the more you beat them over the head and try to make them feel bad and stuff like that, it ain't going to help. But when you let the love of God flow through you, you can reach somebody then. They'll feel that love and they'll want more of it. Glory to God. And it also brings them under conviction. When you let the love of God really flow through you, it makes that person feel guilty if they're not like that. If they're not right with God, it's like a light shining in a dark place. It'll light up. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Glory to God. Father, Lord, I just